Yeah. I love that blessing. Should do it more often, actually. It's a great way to finish a service as well. So we carry on with our word. We carry on with our series in 2 Peter, and it's our growing series. So we're looking through this to grow in Christ. And I've entitled it, just a reminder, the day of the Lord will come. No ifs and buts, the day of the Lord will come. So just one or two definitions before we start, and then we'll get right into this passage. It's a great passage, it's an exciting passage. I hope you'll be excited by it, I hope you'll take it into next week and bless other people through it. As well as pray a blessing on them, actually physically, actually bless them. Okay, so let's have a look at this. Definitions, one, the last days, uses the term the last days in this passage. You will see the term end times. And the last days started on the day of Pentecost, nearly 2,000 years ago. And when will they end? When Christ comes again. Yeah. So we are in the middle, or maybe near the end, or even just at the start, we don't know, of the last days. So when the Bible talks about the last days, don't think it of something future, something that's yet to come. It's here and now, and what it says about the last days, it's saying about us living our day-to-day lives in Lee, or wherever you work, or wherever you study. So it's important to realise that. And so the end will come at some time in the future, and the Bible talks about Christ's coming, I think in this passage, use that terminology, Christ's second coming, the day of judgment, or the day of the Lord. I'll talk about the day when Christ will come and put an end to this system of things. So, need to remember, we're in the last days. So if you want to be turning to 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 10, I'll read through it and then we'll go through it sequentially, because he is developing a good argument. We don't want to be jumping around. He's actually slowly developing this argument about the second coming of Christ. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. I love that term, beloved, don't you? I just think it's a really old-fashioned word and horrible. But the more I read about it, the more I actually like it. I'd love to be called beloved, you know, wouldn't you? If somebody came up and said, oh, beloved, I think you're wonderful. Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's what Peter's doing here. I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles, knowing that first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfil his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Phew, what a passage. That brilliant. So we'll start verse 1. A reminder, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. And John's very often said, He likes my preaching because I repeat things a lot. Just like Peter, but with me it's senility. With Peter it was to emphasise a point. But it's nice to think I'm following in the footsteps of Peter, even though I can't remember what I said the first time. But anyway.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah. So Peter is repeating his message again. He's stirring up their minds, noticed. And you know, this touched me, like I said before. He doesn't call them dogs or swine like he did the false prophets. He calls them beloved. You know, and that comes from the Greek word, which is agapeo, which is unconditional love. It's a love that God has for me and God has for you. It's unconditional. It's not dependent on what we do. And what Peter's saying to these people, you're my beloved. Why? Because you are God's beloved. Isn't that a nice way? I think that's lovely. Beloved. I know it's an old-fashioned word, but I've read some of the modern translations and they don't quite bring out that feeling of being beloved. Verse 2. This is what to remember. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Okay, so the prophetic words of the Old Testament prophets, we should know those, we should understand them. The commandments of Jesus written by the apostles in what we call the New Testament now, we should know all those. So Peter comes back to his emphasis. Acquiring knowledge of the Bible is important. Yeah? People, I know people say, oh, I'm led by the Spirit, I don't need to read the Bible, poppycock. It's the Holy Spirit who caused the Bible to be read so we could read it and understand. So if you're reading your Bible, you're being led by the Spirit of God. And Peter says that over and over again. In effect, right belief leads to right actions. To have right belief, you've got to be reading your Bible. You've got to understand your Bible. So what was it he was wanting them to remember specifically? That scoffers will come. Verse 3. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. Remember, that's today. Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. First of all, that means not that there's a second point coming up. This is most important. That's what he's saying. Christians are to be aware that scoffers, mockers, you know, a nice glass with coffee and chocolate in, that kind of mocker, yeah. Mockers, sneerers, all that kind of thing. They'll come. And they'll come with scoffing. Now, that seems a bit daft, doesn't it? Scoffers will come with scoffing. Of course they will. What he's trying to say, it's a device, and he's saying that the people who are scoffing, it's not because they've been misled. It's not the misled Christians in the past chapter. These are by nature scoffers. They're dogs and swine. Now, that's Peter's words. These are people who've not been changed into the sheep of Christ. Yeah? I know the other week, Mabel, that's my new dog, was out in the garden. And I saw her being sick. And she's a big dog, so it's big sick. And I thought, oh, I wish Jackie was here. I'm going off to go. Anyway, so I went to the toilet to think it through. What do I do with you? Anyway, I went down into the garden. It had all gone. That's what dogs do. They puke up and they eat it. Yes, and that's what Peter was saying in the last chapter. Yeah, the dog returns to its vomit. These people were never Christians. They never became the sheep of Jesus Christ. They were dogs that looked like sheep. And no matter how much I teach Mabel not to eat, it's puke.
We've had that image now.
Eh?
We've done that image now.
Well, I'm just reminding you, isn't it? Like Peter, just over and over again. Oh, you're such middle class people. Point being, no matter how much I teach Mabel not to be sick, and then not to eat it, she will. Because she's a dog, she will do it. And that's what Peter was saying in the last chapter. These were dogs that had not become Christians. So, these are people who are by nature mockers. They're not Christians, they're dogs and swine, if you like, using that analogy. And this will happen in the last days. It will happen in Peter's time and it will happen in our time. I don't know, yesterday, many of you will know, that I was asked to join the Abram Morris Dancers for the day. And what they do, it's interesting, in 1800s, somebody gave a plot of land for the young men or the young people of Abram, provided the Abram Circle Dance was danced on it every 20 years. And what the Abram Morris Dancers do, they just come together, now it's once a year, just to dance on that plot of ground to make sure it stays for the use of the young people of Abram. Plus they do loads of other. We were dancing for about 7 hours, so I was really worn out. But the point being, I did not receive any scoffing or mocking from the Morris Dancers. I did expect it, actually. They knew I was a reverend, and they were very respectful, very nice to me. The young men of Abram weren't. They were scoffing while they were walking round because I had flowers on my hat. Have you noticed? Nobody else has. And Barbara put those flowers on. So, mocking will go on, but not all the time. You know, people say, people, you know, I deserve to be mocked, didn't I, with a hat like that on. And people do that in real life. They go around just asking to be mocked and then saying, it's the end times, this is what it's all about. Well, it's not. But occasionally, we will receive mocking. I know somebody now who's going through a horrendous time. She became a Christian, and she's getting a load of abuse and mocking from her friends. It will happen. So there will be mockers who will mock us. Verse 4. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. The mockers were mocking the idea of Christ returning. And it is something that people find ridiculous. People in the outside world do find it ridiculous. And even in the church, the idea of Jesus returning is a bit ridiculed by the intelligentsia. I know in the Church of England, in the liturgy, if you've ever been to a Church of England church, we say very often, and it's great stuff, Christ has died, Christ has risen, come on, Christ will come again. Yes, brilliant stuff. You feel like jumping up and shouting. But we heard a lecture on the ordination course of somebody who was in charge of teaching people who were ordained into the Church of England. And he did the Christ has died, Mr. Lorout, but it was okay. Christ has risen, fine. Christ will come again. Didn't believe that Christ would come again. He believed that meant that the church produces society that Christ would approve of. And when I said, do you not believe Christ is coming back physically, bodily? You know, like a bit of dirt under his nose. Nobody of intelligence believes that anymore. Oh. So there is mocking at the thought of the coming of Jesus Christ. But they forgot something. Verses 5 to 7. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction. So things haven't always continued. You know, that's what they were saying, and they did the new things, hadn't they? They were deliberately saying, things have always continued as they started off. There's never been an intervention from God before, so there won't be one anymore. So Peter's just making it clear, well, yeah, If you knew your Bible, you would know that God had intervened. Yeah? He created the land out of water and through water. Genesis 1:9, that comes from there, that there was just water and it was separated and land appeared. Things haven't always continued as before. The earth was flooded by the command of God, Noah and his family. We all know Noah's story after the films. Things always haven't continued as before. So the reason of these false prophets was false. They had no reason to believe that the world would continue as normal. In fact, there will come a time when Jesus will return at his second coming and he will judge the world. So, okay, we go along with that. But the next ridicule is, why has there been such a long delay? Yeah, it's ridiculous to think Christ is coming back. And this was 40 years after Christ had risen from the dead. And we are, what, 2,000 and odd years? Still Christ hadn't returned, so this is more pertinent to us actually today than it was then. Why has there been such a delay? Is God weak? He can't do it? Is that kind of thing? Well, the first reason was the perception of time, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So it's perception, isn't it? If you've got a bored life or a bored day, it seems a lot longer, doesn't it, than an exciting day. Your perception of that day, even though time is moving at the same for everybody, your perception is, whoa, that day went quickly, it was great. Oh, that was really boring, that really dragged that day. And so we have to look at the perception from God's perspective, not from ours. Yeah, so that's why Peter is saying a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. God doesn't count time like we do. So we cannot say why this long delay. To God it's not a delay, because God sees time in a different way. So that's verse 8, the perception of time is wrong. And the second reason, verse 9, is to do with God's salvation plans. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So that's the second reason Peter gives for the delay, if there is such a thing, in Christ coming. Jesus said in John 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, meaning they're not Jews. He was talking to Jews, non-Jews. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So what Jesus is saying is, I will not come back again till all my sheep are in the fold. Or in other language, till all the elect have received salvation. Or all those to be chosen by God have received salvation. So it's not because Jesus is weak, that he's not returned, he can't do it. It's because he's patient. He would have none of you, none of God's elect, to perish. And then he finishes this passage, and we'll finish it too. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So the day of the Lord will come. That's the one certainty. The day of the Lord will come. And it'll be like a thief, which means I don't know when it will happen. Even Jesus, when he was on earth, didn't know when it will happen. Peter doesn't know when it will happen. It's like ringing the police up and saying, I'm going to have a burglar at 2:30 tomorrow morning. Would you just come about 25 past and arrest them before they come? Nonsensical, isn't it? So any prophet who says, I know when Jesus is coming back, is a false prophet. That's all you need to say about the situation. Anybody gives you a date, then they are phony. They are false prophets, and they're the people that Peter is mentioning in this letter. So we don't know when it will come. But when it does happen, we won't miss it. Have you read that there? The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So we won't miss it. It will certainly happen. It'll be far, far more impressive than the thunderstorms in London this week. I'm really glad they had thunderstorms. It's usually us, isn't it? You know, those poor people up north. It's grim up north. Thunderstorms, floods. Well, it happened to them down there. And that's been very negative. I'm not actually pouring a blessing on London. Sorry, Denise. I'm very unspiritual. So Christ will come again, and we won't miss it. So a quick summary. Again, Peter is clear that we are to read and study our Bibles. Very, very important. Right beliefs lead to right actions. We can expect some people to mock us because we're Christians. That's part of the deal. Not everybody, but some will definitely mock us. That's part of the deal. Need to be strong and stand against it and understand it will happen. It happened in Peter's time, it will happen in our time, it will happen till Jesus comes again. And people will particularly, according to Peter here, mock us for our belief that Jesus is coming back. Especially when there's been such a long delay, 2,000 years. Can you really believe that? 2,000 years, why has he not come? Well, we've explained it's God's perception of time, not ours, that's important. And God is patient. He wants all his sheep to come into the fold. But is all this irrelevant to our day-to-day lives? I just want to read the next few verses. I think Trevor will be preaching on that, but it's important just for me just to point that this is important. It is relevant to our day-to-day lives. Peter goes on to say, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, that means the earth, the universe and all that, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness? Direct challenge there. What sort of people are you going to be, understanding that Christ might come back tonight? Waiting for, we should be waiting for the second coming, and hastening the coming of the day of God. How can we hasten the coming? Isn't God sovereign? Yeah, of course he is. But the more we go out and seek the sheep of Jesus Christ, bring them into the fold, then in a sense we're hastening that day, aren't we? So evangelism is so, so important. We want to hasten the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. So we should be, because of this, we should be living Christ-like lives. We should be showing the love of Christ in our day-to-day lives. You know, so that people see a difference in us. We shouldn't be squabbling and falling out. That's not different. That's what everybody does. We shouldn't be harbouring petty little grudges. That's what everybody else does. We need to be different. We need to be forgiving people. We need to be accepting people. We need to be Christ-like people, or else we're not hastening the day of Christ's return. And through all that, we must be people who are prepared to tell other people about the gospel, about Christ's love for them, about salvation. That's what I loved about CAP. It was actually showing Christ to people, but then telling them why we do it, because Christ loves them. That's what we should be doing. So as we go out in our day-to-day lives next week, just keep this thought in your minds. The day of the Lord is approaching. What sort of person should I be this week? How should I deal with other people? How should I treat other people? Will people see Christ shining out of me? So let's pray for one another that we can do that as people. We can go into that world and show them Jesus Christ. That we can turn the other cheek when everybody else is squabbling and falling out. Where we can give till it hurts, because Christ gave till it really hurt so that we could be saved. So, Father, we just want to pray for each other. We pray that as we know the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, and we know that Christ is coming back, and we know he will come back when all his flock are in, all his chosen ones have been saved, his elect. Help us, Father, to be true beacons of God's love, of Christ's love. Help us this week to be in situations, not easy situations. We don't want to pray for an easy life. We want to pray for a difficult life, if anything, but a life that reflects Jesus Christ, where we can turn the other cheek, where we can forgive where nobody else is forgiving, where we can lend a helping hand where everybody else has given up on people. Help us to be those people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.